All right. For those that don't know me, my name's Braun, and I am the director of student ministries here. It's really fun to think back when we started our student ministry here and to remember that we started with 25 junior high kids. I can remember those days very clearly. There was 25 of us in a room, and that was the whole junior high ministry. And so I want to encourage you that God is doing something. Growth doesn't always mean God's doing something, but what I loved listening to just then was you worshiping the Lord. And today we're going to talk about a really cool part of learning God's word and how we apply it. And you guys have been talking about what? What'd you talk about 2 weeks ago? What's the word? Observation. Then you talked to David came last week and talked about interpretation. I was really encouraged by some of the stories that I heard of people really going and looking in at study notes and trying to understand God's word in a greater way, looking at cross references with the scripture. All those things are amazing tools for you. But what we're going to talk about today is the opportunity to apply God's word. And here's what I want to tell you. I think that if we observe and we interpret, but we don't apply, we are really missing an incredible opportunity to bless others, yourself, and give glory to God. And so I really want you to listen close, because I want to tell you, you're not too young to start learning how to study God's word for yourself. And if you think you are, you're missing it. I know sometimes you look at the scripture, you go, I have no idea what that means. And so we're going to take some of this today and hopefully help you learn how to apply it, to take what you learned and put it into practice. So let's look at a passage real quick of James chapter 1, 23 through 25. Listen to this. I wonder if this is you, and I wonder if this is me at times. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want to use this passage as kind of the backdrop. Do you hear what the part that I love the most is when it says he's being no hearer who forgets. Do you guys ever observe and interpret God's word and then you just forget it? Do you ever been on Sunday morning here and somebody speaks and you go, God, that was so good. Have you ever said, man, that was such a good message? And here's the question. How did it change the way you live? So if we come every week and we go, oh, I love that message. I find myself saying this. I'll hear Todd share something or JP or I'll go, God, that was so convicting. But if conviction doesn't lead to some kind of change in us, then all we've done is been a hearer who forgets. And you've got to try to remember God's word. So don't just be a hearer or an observer of it or someone who interprets it, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with it. Let me show you some pictures. Anybody in here, when you wake up, you have really bad bedhead? Do you know what I'm talking about? Your hair is going like, you guys been there? Okay, something like that. You know, you wake up, that kind of deal. Let's see a few more here. Let's see a few more of really bad. There you go. That's how some of y'all look in the morning. That's another one. You get up and your hair's going about 20. Who thinks they have the worst bedhead in this room? Okay, you guys really do? So your hair's going everywhere. And when you go to the mirror, you'll look in the mirror. Like that verse talked about, you look in the mirror and you see that, and it'd be like you looking in that mirror and seeing your hair's going 20 different directions, and then you just forget about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked and go, man, that looks terrible? You go eat breakfast, and then you go outside, people go, hey, man, you might want to throw a comb on that or get some gel in that hair or whatever. It's going 20 different directions. And I think that's what happens. What we should do when we see our hair looks like, what do we normally do? We brush it or we put some gel or juices and berries or whatever in there. And we get it going the way we want it to go. And so it looks presentable. So we go back out. And so that's what I want you to hear is when we look at God's word and we look in the mirror and we go, golly, we're convicted. We go, man, my hair is going or my life is going a lot of different directions. Should be going a different direction. God is convicting me. And then we just go, oh, well, I'm not going to mess with it. And so we have a, when we don't apply God's word, it's like we've got a significant case of the bedhead that we've never taken care of. So here's the question I want you to be asking is when you look at God's word, when you read a verse, what I want you to ask is two main questions. And it's real simple. You say, so what? Okay, if I read God's word and I read and I go, so what does that mean for me? If you don't ever ask so what you're going to do is go, man, that's really good. Oh, I like that verse. But you never figure out what you're going to do. Then the second question really goes along with that. Throw that one up there. How will my actions change because of this truth? And if you don't think about it, guys, if you don't think about what does this mean for you when you read a verse or you're convicted by it or you see a truth, you're like someone who hears but then forgets. And you're not a doer of the word. And you have to think about it. You have to maybe say, okay, so what would I do differently if I read that verse and I'm convicted by it? What's going to change for me this week? And if you don't ever think about those things and you won't change, you'll just go, man, I love that. And you'll be waiting to get your ears tickled again the next week. Or you'll wait to hear something good again, but it'll become stagnant and it won't go anywhere. So you probably need to ask yourself, once you've checked out those questions, here's what I'd be asking if I you, why does it matter if we apply God's word? Why does it matter? Does anybody want to take a guess? Why does it matter, or an answer? Why does it matter if we apply God's word? What's the purpose? Any thoughts? Yeah. It helps us in life. That's a great answer. So when we apply God's word, it will go well for you. Okay, now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be great. It just means that you can trust God's plan, and when you trust his word, that that he has some purpose in that. What else? What else might be a reason that we would apply God's word? It helps us. What else? Yeah. It helps others. I love that answer. Okay, when we apply God's word, let's say that we applied Philippians chapter 2, where it says, do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, but let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. If you really live that out, if you said, okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean to not be selfish? What does it mean to put others in front of myself at my school? If you really live that out, that would bless others. No one's going to come up to you and go, would you just quit serving me? Man, you're just being so kind. I hate the way that you put me in front of yourself all the time. They're not going to say that and go, golly, they're going to see something different about you. And so if you really applied, so it would bless you, it will bless others. And then the last thing that's even more important, it gives glory to God. That you read his word and you say, Lord, I know that your word is God-breathed, that it's profitable for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so when I apply it, I know it brings glory to the Lord because you've called me to that. So you got to believe that. You got to believe that it's a blessing to yourself, to others, and it gives glory to God. So that's the thing. Here's what I would tell you. In 1 Peter, it says this about us. It challenges us to be different. Look at this. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. Other translation might say as aliens and strangers. If an alien came in this room, we would take note. We go, okay, there's an alien. Okay, that's kind of weird. Okay? And it says, abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles. That's among people who don't know the Lord. Honorable. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. I love that. See, we are to stand out. When we apply God's word, I'm going to tell you, if you want to be someone who is about others and blesses others and gives glory to God, that's what you're called to do. You're called to be different. And I think what we try in junior high a lot is we try to look like everybody else all the time. And we're missing an opportunity. Ephesians 5, which I don't have on the slides, but Ephesians 5 says, do not live as unwise, but live as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. If we really start living out God's word through the power of his spirit in us, guys, that will change our schools because people will be compelled to want to know this Jesus that you've said you're a follower of. I want to give you a story right in this last couple weeks that I saw where I think it was a missed opportunity. There was a football game that one of my sons was involved. Anybody play football in here? Okay.
Cool.
All right, so my son was playing, and they're losing. And this one of the players comes off the field, and he yells out this cuss word, and he says, ah, and then he says, "I'm done." He yells that from the side, and I remember listening to that, and I thought, okay, that's a missed opportunity right there. And this is a guy that happens to be in one of our small groups. Okay, so I talked to my son about it, and I just said, "Hey, Coop, tell me about that. Is that pretty normal for everybody on the field?" He goes, "Dad, everybody talks like that." And so I got to encourage my son and say, "Cooper, man, you have an opportunity to be salt and light. You get to be alien and stranger-like on that football team." And guys, it's not just about because the kid said a cuss word. It's just that here's what you're going to be tempted to do. You're going to be tempted to try to look like everybody else all the time. And one of the ways you're going to be tempted to do that is the way you talk. And so I would encourage you, if it's as easy as I'm going to change my vocabulary, when I'm frustrated, I'm going to say something different. I'm not going to cuss like everybody else. Okay, if that's a simple one. Okay, you want to say, "So what?" And I'm going to give you a verse here that speaks to that. But what I would tell you is you have an opportunity around you all the time, a simple thing. And some of you right now are going, "Hey, that's the way I talk. When I'm at school and I'm around my friends, I'm trying to fit in with them, and I talk like that because I want them to like me." And here's a verse I want you to, we're going to practice with a verse right here about application. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29. I love this verse. This is a great one for you to think about. So what you ought to be doing as you look at this verse with me is you ought to say, "So what? How will this change the way I live?" If you're one of the people I just talked about, you go, "Hey, sometimes I'm saying things that I'm trying to fit in with people because I'm trying to be cool with them or whatever." Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, here's what I want to tell you. If you are using words like that, and this isn't about that as much as I want you to hear the missed opportunity. No one is going to hear you cuss and go, "Oh man, you must really love Jesus. I heard you cuss and you're a follower of Christ, aren't you?" No one's going to do that. Now, they may think the other way, and that may not be true. It may be true you are a follower of Christ. You just are not making a wise choice here with the words that are coming to your mouth, because you know what it does? It blurs who Christ is, because it's a missed opportunity to stand out and be alien and stranger-like. And I'm just using a simple example here. But I want you guys to see. Look what I love. The next part says, "But only what is helpful for building others up." I promise you this too. Hey, man, when you cuss, that really encouraged me. I mean, when you cuss, it just builds me up, man. I don't know. It's great. They're not going to do that. Okay, that because it doesn't. What it does is it blurs. And so when you think about your words to others, I'm going to tell you what would be life-changing in your junior highs. I'm telling you this. If you'll listen to me, if you want to get a "so what" example from this verse, if you decided that because I read this verse, helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen, that you wanted to start to be someone that your speech and the things you say benefit and show grace to others and build them up, if you did that in your junior high, I would bet you there are hardly anybody doing that in your junior highs. What you're doing is the typical language of junior high students. I've worked with them for 24 years, so I kind of know what's up with that. And I'll just tell you, what happens is it's a constant dogging each other. You guys are insecure. We're still insecure, by the way, as adults. But you're insecure, and so what you do is you make fun of each other all the time. You guys know it's true. Okay, or you talk about each other behind your back, some of those things. So that is not what should be coming out of your mouth according to Scripture. It should be things that build others up. And by the way, I'll let you in on a little secret. When you get to be an adult, you're tempted to do the same thing. Talk about others, dog other people. You're tempted because you don't grow up. And so when you read a verse like this, do you see that you could take that and say, okay, this week, what am I going to do? Because of this truth, I'm going to do this. I'm going to look to encourage people at school. When somebody on the football team makes a good play, I'm going to go over to them and say, "Hey, man, that was a way to go. That was great." When you see somebody else get a better grade than you, you're going to encourage them, not think about how frustrated you are that you're not the best. When you see somebody else that is alone in the cafeteria, you're going to go shower them with kindness. You're going to go talk with them. You're going to do something that would be Christ-like. Wouldn't that be amazing? And so that's what happens when we begin to apply God's word When we say, I'm going to read it, I'm not just going to observe. I'm going to observe what it says. I'm going to interpret what it means. And then I'm going to go live it out. And I'm wondering if you guys, if anybody say, man, I haven't thought about that ever. I've never thought about taking what I'm learning on Sunday and start living it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you're not, you're missing an opportunity. The days are evil. So I want you to think about three things when you apply, when you think about application. There's three P's that I want to go through with you guys. That first thing you do, need to do is you need to pray. First thing is pray that the Lord would show you an area of where you can apply this scripture. Okay, so that Ephesians 4, you say, Lord, would you show me some people right now? Would you lay some people in my heart that I could go encourage tomorrow? That I've been dogging them the whole school year. I've said things to that person on my team. I haven't been very kind. I've talked about them behind their back. Lord, would you help me? Would you show me someone that this week or a couple people that I could go just encourage? And Lord, would you do this? When I want to dog them, when I want to say bad things about them, when I want to make fun of them, would you help me to hold my tongue and not say anything that's going to discourage them, but only that which builds them up? Would you pray that God would do that? Some of you don't want to pray that because you're afraid he's going to really do that, and then you're going to have to follow through. So the first P is pray. Second one is publicly share. And here's what I mean by that. With your small group, with your family, with anybody else that you'd go, hey, I want to tell you something. I am convicted right now by this scripture. Braun shared Ephesians 4:29. I'm convicted if that's where you are. And I want to tell you that I'm going to, this week, I'm going to really work on this. I'm asking the Lord to help me, and I'm going to make sure, I'm going to try my best through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in me, okay? I am going to encourage 5 people this week, and I've never done it. I've never thought about encouraging anybody, really. Only the people that like me. By the way, that's the easiest people. If you love only those who love you, Jesus said, what is that credit to you? Even people who don't know Jesus do that. But if you can love those who are hard to love, you can look for those who you can be a reflection of Christ too. So publicly share. Share with your small group. And then you know what you ought to say? Hey, ask me about it next week. Ask me if I did that. Ask me if I did really go to those friends. Just hold me accountable. Spur me on, man. Help me be a follower of Christ. Okay, and the last P, publicly share. And then the last one is practice. And put it into practice. And so I would say, man, you got to go in there and you got to be a doer, not someone who hears the word and forgets what your hair is going all different directions, but you go put it into practice. I will tell you, I think it's really going to be true that what we said earlier, that you will be, it'll be a blessing to you. Why would it be a blessing to you if you were kind to others? You know what? Because it feels great to do that because you know it honors God. There's a sense of joy that will come from that. Man, I actually benefited those today with my words. Here's a way to look at it. Are your words life-taking or are they life-giving? That's what you ought to ask yourself. Is the words I'm saying at my school, are they life-taking where I just make fun of people, I dog them out, I talk about them behind their back, or are they life-giving? So this is how you can apply God's word. And you know what? You ought to look at this last week. You gotta just think back, okay, how did I treat people this last week? Was that life-giving? Did it benefit those who listened to me, the words that I said? Or did I just tear people down? Would God go, hey, well done. Man, I love the way you love people. Or would he go, hey, you loved yourself really well this week, last week. That's where you were really great. Okay? So the three P's there are really important. This week, I had a chance to practice this in my own life. I was sitting at the, getting my tire changed. Well, I went on a retreat this last week, and I was gone all week. And when you get my age and you go on retreats, you are worn out, okay? I came back, and I was like, couldn't hardly walk. So I went, and on the retreat, on the way there, one of my tires blew out, and I had to go get it fixed. And so I'm sitting at the tire shop. I'm finally just spending some time with the Lord. I'm reading, and I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and there's this great passage that says that we are to comfort others by the comfort that we've been given by God. We can do that because God has comforted us. He's a God of mercy. And I was reading that, and I said, Lord, would you let me, here's my prayer, the first P. I said, Lord, would you help me be your man today, whatever comes? Would you help me to comfort others today? Not a few minutes later, I get a text from one of my former students, a girl that I did their wedding, and she says, can I call you? And I said, yes. And I said, well, actually, can I call you in about 10 minutes? And here's what I'm thinking. My flesh wanted to go, you know what? I just need a day off. Okay? I've been gone all week. I'm exhausted. Maybe I could push this back. My flesh started saying that. I thought, no. I just prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity to live out this verse. So I spent about the next 30 minutes on the phone with this girl, and there's some things going on with their marriage, and I got to pray for her and give her counsel and share some things with her that hopefully will really bless her. But I'm going to tell you, my flesh wanted to go, I don't think so today. I don't really feel like it. And so I wonder if that's where you are. You have opportunities around you all the time. You're going to have them this week. If you'll pray for them, Lord, give me opportunities to love, encourage, build others up. Give me opportunities to apply your word, to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, those kind of things. If you'll pray that, God will bring those opportunities. And then here's the question. Will you be faithful? I want to use this analogy with you guys just to wrap up today. If this sponge, if you just listen to God's word, if you just observe and interpret, and you let the sponge stay in that water, and you never use the sponge, you never wring it out, then what will happen eventually, what will start to happen to that sponge? It'll start to stink, okay? And that's what I want to tell you, and that's what I want to tell myself. When I listen to God's word and I take it in and I soak it up, and if all I do is soak it up and I never wring it out and I never put it into practice, then I'm like this sponge that's going to be full of this water. And this water is clean water from the faucet. But what I would tell you is if I leave it there and I never wring it out, then eventually it's going to stink. Okay, that's what it's going to be like. And here's what I want to tell you. There's a verse that I love in 2 Corinthians that talks about to some, we are the aroma of Christ. To some, we are the fragrance of life, and to others, we're the stench of death. Now, in that case, that's really referring to us as being a follower of Christ, an example of him, and a light for him. And to some people, they don't want to hear that. But what I hope is this week, you'll begin to wring out the sponge. You'll begin to, instead of just taking in God's word, you'll begin to apply it, and you'll see God use you in the lives of others. Maybe he'll use you to bring some relief to others. And you won't just be soaking up, but you'll be wringing out. Let me pray for you.